Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Attention, children of the night. Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. When you get ready for Halloween, please remember to shop Amazon. And when you do, go to MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to support the show. And the prices are so good, it's scary.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Presents! We've got presents! And those presents are the nicest thing to have.
Wow. Yay. It was almost...
I almost got the pitch.
Yeah.
But,
heaven. Yeah. I'm in heaven. Oscar, let's start with the beers that we were presenting.
Man, I sound
night.
Just like I did on Thursday's show.
I would think after 23 hours of rest, you'd sound better.
I really think I would have gotten my voice back.
Mike, we missed you at the hockey game last night. It was a blast.
Did you have a good time?
I can't believe the way it
I
ended.
I don't want to play this game. I don't want to play the lie to the listeners game. Yes, we're taping our Friday show on Thursday.
Okay, we've got some key beers from some key breweries that are rare, I've been told. Rare.
Yes. I feel like Dracula seeing the sun.
Yeah, not the day for him to have beer.
No. We've got Dragon's Milk from New Holland Brewing. And we also have Hair of the Dog. And
did you see the ABV, the alcohol by volume on that bottle?
I have not.
I know what it is.
It's ridiculous.
It's a 10.
Yeah, it's 10.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah. So it's like drinking carbonated scotch.
That's
nice.
That's not fun.
Yeah,
not
what else
fun.
We have here?
You can take that home.
Yeah. Another bottle of Hair of the Dog. Bourbon.
Hair of the Dog, Mike, has bourbon notes.
Do we know who brought those beers to the meet and greet the other night?
Two
nights ago?
You mean on Thursday?
Oh, I thought we were doing two nights ago. No, it's two nights. Time machine.
Yes. No, he's going to send me a note because he wanted to be my friend on Facebook, and I said I'd move him to the head of the line.
Just so a piece of paper with a little flying note on it.
Yes, that's what he's going to send me a note.
He's going to send you a note.
F sharp.
Right.
And so I will
I feel like
name.
F sharp right now.
Mike, this is a book that was sent for actually your son,
okay.
And it's to Mike, Carla, and little Michael. They said, please do not read the card on the air, so it's an anonymous book, but it is called... Toy boat.
Oh, he's going to love this.
So that's for you.
Boat.
I love that.
Let me read a little.
Oh, good. Please. Okay, here we are.
Do you have kids' music?
I can have some, yeah.
All right. I don't want to read it unless it's got to. If you have small children, this is an opportunity for the Mike O'Mara to do something experimental. We're going to go into a different realm right now. And
use a different word.
Yeah, yes. Please.
Should I cross my legs?
Yeah, cross your... sit on the floor. All right. All right, hold on just a second.
Boat.
A little boy had a toy boat. He made it from a can, a cork, a yellow pencil, and some white cloth. The boy loved the boat, and they were never apart. They bathed together.
Oh, that's not right.
They slept...
Hey!
You know, you're ruining the mojo. Hello. Right now. Come on now. What are you doing? Behave yourself.
Sorry.
They bathed together. They slept together. And every day, they would go down to the lake and sail all afternoon. The boy and his boat. Unfortunately... Mike O'Mara was the boy, and he was walking across Wisconsin Avenue.
Oh, my God. Look what happened to him. Oh, my God.
But the boat's okay.
Let me skip ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes, please.
Maybe for the ending. Oh, that's
Hold
not
on,
the
just
song.
A second here. Okay. One blustery afternoon, Mike O'Mara was crossing Wisconsin Avenue.
Oh! All these stories end the same way.
I know. I have to organize myself. Hold on just a second. I have to get everything out of the way. Everything is in the way. I want to
You've
get
got
it
lots
out of
the
beverages.
Way. Lots of beverages.
Because I'm trying to do some theater here, and
yes.
I'm not doing it very successfully.
Lots
you know?
Of open beverages with
exactly.
No caps on them.
All right.
Oh, because he likes to gamble.
Buy the electronics.
Yeah.
One day, little Mike was crossing Wisconsin Avenue with his pet dolphin. It was a magical dolphin that could live out of the water. Suddenly, Mike hailed a cab, but the cab didn't see him. And Mike and the dolphin were hit by a car.
Oh, I was hoping you would have like an O. Henry twist where the dolphin was driving the cab.
Right. You know what? Anything you'd like in the story, I'll make it up as I go along.
I'd like the Moody's in the story.
All right.
A pack of cigarettes.
And a pack of cigarettes.
Right in the blowhole.
Little Michael and Barb and Chuck Moody decided to go across the street to get a pack of cigarettes.
What about the dolphin?
Oh, the dolphin's already passed away due to his injury sustained in the original car crash.
Ah, got it, got it.
This is a lovely. Is this the only gift we have?
No, no, there's more gifts.
And I'm not supposed to. Is this the card?
On the back, they say, "Please do not read it on the air."
Please do not read on the show. Just thank you from you know.
It's very sweet.
That's very nice to be thought of.
I like that when people don't want credit. That's something everybody in this room could learn a little bit of.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? I think of all the people that don't want credit, I'm the best at it, and I'd like you to recognize me for it. Linda, I think her name is pronounced Her. Linda Her has sent us a business card that she made on, on Vistaprint.
What's her name?
Linda Her.
Very
and
sweet.
She also
what's her name?
Linda Her.
Her?
Her.
Her?
Her.
Not him, Her.
No, no, not him.
Linda Her.
No.
That's a good potato chip, Rob.
Oh, Her's potato chips?
Her's potato chips. Yeah. H-E-R-R-S. Look at Rofo. Rofo practically dislocating his head by nodding so vigorously.
I like them a lot if you can't get gibbles.
Hers. Yeah. What's your favorite potato chip, Rob?
You know what? I think that the Lay's is a great product. And also
You're so suburban.
He is suburban.
Lay's.
Oh. He takes the main one, like the Big Mac Daddy, the one that mass produces the...
You like Doritos
Hey, you know
as
what
well?
I like? I like f*** you potato chips. So burn in hell.
Mm. He's not having it today.
I like f*** you potato chips.
Rob Spiewak's f*** you potato chips. That's right. With every chip, you'll burn in hell.
Well, a lot of chips have buffalo flavor. Mine is burning hell.
Who predicted the second show would sound like this? This guy.
Yeah. You there did it on Monday.
I know.
You said there was going to be a weird energy.
Yes. Made with real peanut oil, Rob Spiewak's FU potato chips, a slice of hell in every bite.
That's right.
There's
That's
a field
good.
In Iowa where potatoes grow.
In the spring, potatoes grow there.
People cuss there.
Rob Spiewak's burning hell potato chips.
Dear Oscar, Rob, and Mike, my birthday falls on Friday, but rather than try my luck at the impression slots, I'd like to send you guys something instead. And she has a website. She is she's a cork dork.
A cork dork?
Cork dork.
Nice.
And you can probably Google
that
cork dork.
Pornographic or something?
No. Google cork dork on the internet, and you'll be able to get yourself
said he hopes.
One of these.
See, I wouldn't hear that if I was in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Linda Her.
I'm glad I'm in the studio.
Oh, Linda
now,
Her.
Arts and crafts
wow.
made out of wine corks.
Wow.
Here is an O for O'Mara.
Wow. Cool. Look at that.
An S for Spiewak.
Nice.
And hold on.
I
but
like
wait.
Cork dorks.
There's more.
I like saying cork dork.
Cork dork. Cork dork.
Oh, she got my real name.
Ceballos. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Which also, when she has a circle of cork around a Z, it looks like a logo for the wonderful land of Oz.
Very
so,
cool.
But these are very cool.
Does
and
it
I,
move?
No, don't break. You're going to break
oh,
it.
Oh, don't break it.
You're breaking it.
You just broke it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened to it?
No, you
can you give it to me?
You're
now?
Supposed to just hang it.
No.
It doesn't swivel.
No.
You just hang
yeah,
it on
I'll
the wall.
It.
Hey, you know what?
The O and Z make my initials.
Oscar
Ceballos.
Yeah, Oscar Ceballos.
Super glue on this thing.
But anyway.
O and Z.
Happy birthday, Linda.
The wizard.
I want you to know that those cork dork lovely pieces of art.
Thank you. I'm sorry I broke it.
Lasted a long time until they got here.
I know. I didn't. I thought it was a swivel.
I thought it was on a swivel.
What about this says it swivels?
I'm sorry. That was
he wanted it to swivel. He wanted it to swivel.
I want it to swivel.
And our last gift comes from a fellow that we all know. His name is Mark Miller. You remember we played, well, we didn't play hockey with him, but
oh,
we
Mark
managed.
Miller. Mark Miller used to go down to the ocean all the time, drive by the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, and
yes.
Mark Miller would dine on Whitehall's famous fruit fritters.
So, no, he was one of the players when we did the charity hockey classic.
Oh, cool. That Mark
good
Miller.
Guy. And really good guy.
Nice fellow came in and he sent us gifts and he
Mother
says...
Mother is Mrs. Miller.
Oh, yes. Mother Miller.
Mother Miller.
Oscar, he says you should open your gift first.
Okay.
As we do Gift Corner.
Mother Miller is mango marmalade.
There really isn't enough of Gift Corner anymore.
I like it. You know what? It's a good time we stop the show for a second and mention that to our listeners.
Thank you, Mike.
Cannot be emphasized enough.
We're going into the holiday season. We really this is the outlier of the holiday season. We love gifts.
We do.
We love it when you send us things. So come ahead.
Should the listener be shy about sending presents?
No.
They
should be. They should be the opposite of shy. Whatever that is.
Gentlemen.
That would be outgoing.
Outgoing. Gregarious.
Yeah. Greg Arias.
Gregarious.
I'll take it, though his reputation is tarnished. Oh. I shall cherish this.
What is it?
An autographed picture of Brian Williams.
Oh, hey. Wow. Hey. Oh, that's a great
pretty
gift.
Cool.
That's very, very
Thank
nice.
So
from Mother
much,
Miller's
sir.
Mint Marmalade.
And my gift, it says, Rob, tell the people my story. I don't know what that
good.
Means.
Okay,
that's
this
awesome.
Is exciting. This is really, this is a real
good.
Gift corner.
It
really
is.
Good. Mm-hmm.
It's good because cool. we let them stack up. And I swore that thing would have swiveled.
No.
No, you don't
no.
think? You don't
no,
think?
That doesn't mm-hmm. even look like it should swivel.
I'm opening
oh,
it.
Oh, by the way, on today's show, I do want to give everybody a heads up. If you're just tuning in and listening to this tomfoolery and hijinks, which would really drive a lot of people away, mm-hmm. I will tell you that we are going to be interviewing Kelly Carlin, who has written a book about life with George Carlin, one of my absolute idols. I truly love George Carlin. It's A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George by Kelly Carlin. We're going to talk to her on today's show. So
I don't
stay
know,
tuned for that.
I don't know where he got these, but these are fantastic. These
what
are vintage
have?
1970s Jerry Labor Day telethon buttons.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Stack them. Right. Wow. This one wow. is still new in plastic.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait to put these on my denim jacket.
That's very, very cool.
Oh, look at that. Still in a collector's box. Oh. Lady. Yay, 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 yay.
You can put that next to the button that says, candy is dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
I wear that one.
That's a wonderful one.
I also have one that says FBI, female body inspector.
There you go. Fantastic.
And I hold in my hand
Woo!
The final gift.
Gimme, nice. Gimme, gimme.
Let's
gimme.
See who it's for.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Mike, you've earned this.
Thank you. Mike, you've earned this.
Yeah, all right, okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
All right. This is from Mr. Miller.
Yeah.
Yes,
do you
Mark
feel
Miller.
At all bad for not for having the slot machines because they were tight earlier in the show and in yesterday's show?
You mean that I didn't do impressions?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I didn't give the listeners what they deserve.
Yeah. Now you're getting
it's
gifts.
Fine.
Now
it's fine.
Getting gifts.
You will hear
But
the,
I was very funny on yesterday.
You'll hear the Ben Carson impression on a promo today.
All right, let's see. I deserve... Oh, wow.
What is it?
I'm getting that guilt vibe. I'm getting that this might be like too nice.
No, no, no.
Might be too nice.
Right, can't be well. Nicer than my buttons.
Well, it's in a jewelry case. Okay.
Oh, Mike, you love jewelry.
Oh, my. Look at this. It's a Jack Cassidy star.
Wow.
It's a Jack
oh, like
Cassidy stat.
Set in the black marble that
Hello
they have
there.
On the Walk of Fame.
Take a look at that with a wow. picture. Jack Cassidy. Oh, my
that
God.
That is awesome. So cool. That wow. is creative.
Yeah.
That is
We're
going to awesome.
Put that in a place of honor here in
yes.
the studio.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark Miller,
yeah,
very
you,
much.
Mark
and also to Linda Herr for sending us Oscar's initials.
Very sweet.
Wow. I love it very much. You know what?
We didn't communicate that efficiently here. This is a replica of Jack Cassidy's star that you would find on Hollywood Boulevard, and he cut out a little picture of Jack Cassidy to go with it. I don't know if he did that on his own. I think he did. That's the extra something that he did with this gift.
Is it set in black granite, like
it's
the real deal?
It's in black granite.
Oh, that is so cool.
Very, very nice, isn't it? And then it's got Jack Cassidy right underneath that. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, that looks like a commemorative item right there.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And I have to think that's sort of a narrow casting type gift. There's not a lot of people out there buying the Jack Cassidy star.
Do you think there's a star? Store on Hollywood Boulevard, Rob, where they have all of these of all the stars that you can get a replica star. Obviously, this is someone that went to Hollywood. To go.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I say? I say hooray.
Hooray.
Hooray for Hollywood.
I say huzzah.
Thank you.
I have a strange desire right now to sit in my Barker lounger with my cigarette lighter and fall asleep, causing a horrible fire.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And I'm getting pretty sick of guys named Todd. You know, it's just a goofy f***ing name. Hi, what's your name?
Todd. I'm Todd. And this is Scott. And Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent.
Where are all these goofy f***ing boys' names coming from? Taylor, Tyler, Jordan, Flynn. These are not real names! You want to hear a real name? Eddie. Eddie's a real name. Whatever happened to Eddie? He was here a minute ago. Joey and Jackie and Johnny and Phil, Bobby and Tommy and Danny and Bill. What happened? Todd! And Cody, and Dylan, and Cameron, and Tucker. Hi, Tucker. I'm Todd.
Hi, Todd. I'm Tucker.
F*** Tucker. Tucker sucks. and Tucker's friend Kyle.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by Vistaprint.
Aha!
Vistaprint, baby. The other night when we were at the meet and greet in Glover Park, we had a lot of people handing us their Vistaprint business cards. It's still, in my opinion, is the coolest thing that you can go out to a social event or a party or anywhere or a business meeting and lay your card on somebody. And the best way to do it and the cheapest way to do it and the most skilled way to do it is with Vistaprint. $9.99, and all you have to do is enter the promo code TMOS at checkout, and you get 500 cards. 500 business cards for under 10 bucks. You cannot beat that. It is the best way to promote a small business. Choose from Vistaprint's great templates. They got a bunch of them, and you can do it that way. Or you could add your own logo and your own artwork. And it's easy to make a card that conveys you, just like the Angel of Software Death or whatever that was.
Software Angel of Death.
Software Angel of Death. They even do banners, apparel, flyers, postcards, everything at Vistaprint. You'll love it. Vistaprint has the best customer service. Just remember to use the code TMOS at checkout, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. Great quality, easy to customize. Visit Vistaprint.com, create your card, and use the promo TMOS at checkout, and we thank you.
Yay!
So that was a clip from George Carlin, and a little later on the show, we're going to be talking to Kelly Carlin, the daughter of George, the only child of George Carlin, and a fascinating book that I got a chance to start. I have not finished it yet. It's a Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George, and
revealing. Very, very really, revealing really, and insightful. Yeah.
You know, George Carlin is one of the people that I think about, and I need a little level on this, Rob. It just seems things are wacky again. Yeah. Done it again. but anyway.
Touch nothing.
Okay. The thing about George Carlin, much like Robin Williams, iconic, and comedians, I think by their very nature, are kind of prickly people. They live in a very strange world. But the word that comes to mind, I think, needy. There are a couple of things in the George Carlin book that I want to ask Kelly about that I share with him. And because I think disc jockeys are just comedians light. I think that's exactly what
that's
they
fair.
Are.
That is.
And the thing about phone conversations, that he didn't like to talk on the telephone.
Yeah.
And you guys know how much I really love talking on the telephone.
Oh, you're fun on the phone.
It's horrible. I wish I liked it. I wish I liked it. You know, there are a couple of people that are in a very exclusive club, and that is people that I can maintain a fairly lengthy phone conversation with. One of them, do you guys, I probably mentioned it on the show. Do you know who I can actually have a long conversation with on the phone?
I would guess maybe Jimmy.
Jimmy Cerrito.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Cerrito I can chat with for a while. It's strange. I just have, I have no problems doing that. Oscar's probably in the club too because we'll
sure.
talk. But Oscar and I will talk a lot of business and we will do that.
I actually lay out an outline before I call Mike.
Do you really?
Yes.
No, you
PowerPoint?
Don't.
Yes. Because I know it's much like a,
that's funny.
You're breaking through a security system with lasers.
Yes. And you're hanging from wires.
If you're not precise,
yeah, you got to
go God. All wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, it's, you know, it's just strange. I'm trying to think what the
say
other...
Say hello, ask about the family.
That's right. Allow 40 seconds for small talk.
Talk about our forecast.
Terrible. I hate that. Do you like to talk on the telephone, Rob?
If I'm in the mood, yeah. And you know what? What I love to talk on the phone is in the car.
Right.
Because I've got, you know, a good amount of time in the car every day. I'll talk to my dad in the car every morning.
I talk to Cappy Pfeiffer on the phone a lot, but that's because I owe her my life. so she falls into that category.
But you know, it's, I would rather be in person with someone. You and I, someone we have made a living talking to each other.
Yes,
we're horrible on the phone together.
Yes, we are.
Absolutely horrible.
Absolutely. Yeah. We Rob and I don't even know how to get off the phone with each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, is it awkward? Bye.
All right. So we'll do the.
All right. You hang up.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Racing to the cradle.
No, you hang up.
Yeah, Pony, I have a question for
you.
I don't know why I'm asking you this, but are you a phone person?
I am not a phone person at all.
He hates the phone.
Despise
he hates
it.
The phone? Hey. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he doesn't even like texting because it involves a phone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very slow.
What about now? Do you, with other people, Oscar, do you linger on the phone?
I love to gab.
You love to gab on the phone?
I like talking.
And if you do that, and that's why you're a networker also. Yeah. If you Don was a better networker than I was. He loved to be on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He talked on the phone all the time. He was doing that all the time. I can't stand it, and that's why I think I'm probably not a great networker. If I went to a convention, I could meet 50 people that were like key to my career, mm-hmm. and then the next day I'd go down to breakfast and I'd see one of them and I go, "Hey, how are you?"
La, la, la.
I don't remember. I want to be better. There are a lot of. I'm constantly striving to improve myself. But thank you, Rob.
I think it comes with a territory because you're such a big celebrity.
No, I'm not a big celebrity. Stop it! I hate it when you say that.
There is a dynamic that when he says that, it brings me such joy. Mm-hmm. He didn't do one. Check 411.
Please.
This week you said I'm a public figure. Oscar said, "You're a celebrity."
Yeah, thank you.
Shut up.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you're used to people just coming and giving you information, and you're used to people really deciding when you get to decide when you want to interact with them.
Yeah, that is true. But I also, it is an area of my life that I constantly would think about wanting to improve.
Mm-hmm.
When we're up in Maine is a great example.
Right.
That I probably said this on the show. I bumped into people that I hadn't seen in decades. And when I would meet people that have been up there for decades, and I know that I'm going to spend more time up there, and I'm going to interact. Carla's horrible at names, too. So we actually got into the habit of putting names in her phone, where we would remember the people that we had met.
Do you like attach a description to it?
She would just write the full name, and we said that's Karen and her husband's Carl, and
so
her father's
smart.
Name is Ralph
so
and
smart.
Scott and Todd and Tyler Eddie and Tyler
and I would
Kyle.
Actually
Kyle
and I realized that I will be going back down to Florida.
And you got to start all over again?
And, I used to bitch about the fact that I would reintroduce myself to people, and I have no business in bitching about that because I'm that guy, too.
But, Mike, in your defense, when you move back to Florida, it's like a new season is in cast of any sitcom.
The Real World?
Yeah, but they change the principles because some have died.
Many have died.
It's not that guy.
That's right,
Oscar. 9 or 10 of them have dropped dead during the four months that I have been away.
And also it's going to be tough because they're going to say, well, I guess he was too busy for the funerals.
Yeah.
But I'm not that close to anybody down there. I'm not even close to my next door neighbor down there.
I am
maybe moving.
But alive.
Yeah, very much alive.
And
I,
God bless
I,
him.
I think.
Where is he going?
Don't know. Don't know anything about it.
Underground.
I'll probably be down there. I'll probably be down there for 2 months, and I won't be able to have an answer for you. Man.
I have been bad with names for so long that
I'm the worst.
I used to in my dorm, and when you're on your dorm floor, we were on the third floor.
Right.
You should know everyone on your floor. You're with them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was about five or six guys that I just called buddy and friend.
So you're bad with names too.
I'm horrible.
But
with
even
names.
On that level, on my end, the bit always goes, and with the guys on Big O and Dukes, that it's. I say hello to somebody, and then they say, "We've met 1,000 times."
Yeah.
So the three of us, none of us do the name thing very well.
But you see, and that's weird, is that I am so weirdly able to remember stuff about movies and TV and stuff.
I can remember faces.
Faces.
And here's the hypocrisy of it. I know that I hate it when it's when I'm on the receiving end of it.
It sucks. Of course.
I hate it, too. So, I mean, I think...
Carlos? Diego?
But every now and then, I do get recognized by someone. And I had this moment with my dad the other day. We were at a Super Bowl once. And we were trying to scare up guests for the Super Bowl show.
Right, right.
And I went up, and who's on a stage actually doing a TV show with the great George Michael, but Sonny Jurgensen.
Okay. Nice.
And as he's coming down, I said, "Sonny," and of course, he's got people three deep all around him.
Right.
And
right.
I go up to him, I say, "Sonny, I hate to bother you. My name is Rob Spiewak. I produce the Don and Mike show. We'd love to." And he stopped me. He held up his hand. He says, "I know who you are."
Good moment, though, right?
It was a great moment. It was
I
a great.
Know you.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
I'll do the show.
I know this outlaw.
Well, that's Wayne Newton.
You know what? This, it's funny you brought that up because being back in Washington,
yeah,
I had the distinct pleasure of listening to the Washington Redskins radio broadcast.
Washington Redskins?
That is, I mean, it was, I didn't think that that could get worse.
Oh, I know.
But so now it's...
They booted Sam.
They booted Sam. You've got Chris Cooley in there, right?
Yes, yeah.
And then you've got Rick Doc Walker, who, in my humble opinion, is the best part of the broadcast.
Okay.
But he's not up in the booth, right? He's down on the sideline? Is
sideline
that the,
guy.
That's the way that goes?
The booth is Sonny and Larry and
so you
Chris,
have
right?
Larry, who... I didn't think Larry could puke more. And I listen, Larry is a nice man. He is a very nice guy.
He was always great to me.
But at the same time, Washington Redskins,
it is that you get that for the whole game. And then you have Chris Cooley, who a very nice guy.
Yes.
But, you know, I think I'm not the only one that has said that, you know, as far as a broadcaster, not a pure broadcaster. And then Sonny is AWOL. Yeah. Sonny says nothing
during
those. He's
at the buffet
those,
half the game, I think.
Well, what happens
is smoke a cigar.
Sonny is like if you had a three-year-old up there that if you want him to do the broadcast, you have to keep Sonny entertained. If it's like a slow defensive drive where it's not a lot going on, Sonny is counting stars.
He
doesn't care.
He doesn't even talk.
He said, well, yeah.
So the game's got to be actually riveting.
And it's got to be offensively
he
oriented.
He won't be enough of a professional broadcaster to actually make the game
I have
intriguing.
Seen him sit in that booth and take a full 90 seconds to put his binoculars down and balance his cigar on the eye holes of the binoculars while the game is going on.
That's funny.
I used to live for Sonny to break Sam's balls.
Oh, the best.
Right? Because he would just sit there and he's like, are they fighting in between this game? Like, what is happening?
Oh, yeah, that's not how I remember it.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Incredible. Don't ask me to figure out sports broadcasting because I just don't. You know, I talked about the Red Sox team that was up there and
yes.
how they canned a guy that was 15 years with the Red Sox, Don Arcillo. He immediately was picked up by the San Diego
Scooped
Padres.
Up right and a great and, get for
and,
them.
And now he's going to San Diego with a sweet deal, getting paid more money.
Where's the weather better?
it's incredible. I don't know. You know, and this is probably speaks to the broadcast business that, we talked about networking. I can bring it full circle here. If you know how to network and you're plugged in, that's the ball game.
Also,
that's game, set, and match.
If you're a good guy. Because this business is so incestuous that you never know when you're going to turn a corner again. And the one thing that I loved, even when I left CBS Radio, and I remember... even in the doldrums of unemployment.
Sure.
I said to my family, I said to my friends, I never stepped on anyone's back.
Right.
I never stabbed anyone in the back. I never did anything I wasn't proud of. Now, I've talked about things I wasn't proud of on the air, but I didn't screw anybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that we I can relate to that totally because we had that on the wall at the old Don and Mike show. Oh, yeah.
I remember.
No problem. Catch you on the flip side.
I did my best to not make any enemies, and it really, by the time it got to the end, it made it so much easier for them to fire me because I was so well-liked.
You were so well-liked.
I was.
It's nice to be liked.
It is.
Well, I'm suitably depressed right now. We'll come back and chat.
We'll do another break.
We're doing one more
go
break
Diego
before
go.
We get Kelly Carlin. We're going to talk to our Go Diego Go intern Adrian.
Yay.
In the spotlight when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hello, this is Raj Patel, and I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about Rob Spivak's back. Rob loves lots of things, but what he loves more than anything else in the world is having listeners fill up his bag week after week with wonderful messages. Would you be a sweetie and drop Rob a message for his bag? Send it right along to rob@michaelmerashow.com. Don't forget, with two B's, not one, but two B's. Who knows, Rob might reach into his bag and pluck out a message from Y-O-U. Please help Rob with his bag, because if you do not, he might ignore it, and then it will start to smell very not good.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Hiring qualified employees is one of the hardest parts about being a business owner. It's also extraordinarily important. You know that. Face it, your company is only as good as the people you hire, so you need to hire the best. But to find them, you can't rely on one single job posting. You got to live in the now. You got to get with the program. When you're already short-staffed, you don't have the time to deal with dozens of different job sites until now. Enter ZipRecruiter.com, where you can post to over 100 job sites with one single click and instantly be matched to the best candidates from over 6 million resumes. You heard me, 6 million. Just one post, and within 24 hours, you sit back and you watch your candidates appear in ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. It's easy, and it's time-saving. That's the most important part. Real ZipRecruiter clients say that ZipRecruiter takes the torture out of the hiring process. It is faster, easier, and it's the source for their best employees. They have helped 400,000 businesses. You should give it a try at ZipRecruiter.com. Try it today, and it's free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and get started. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Don't wait. Try it for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS.
Perfect.
Yes. Welcome back to the show. We have a new intern that I have been wanting to spotlight for quite some time. We've talked to him briefly. He's Adrian. I give him the nickname Go Diego Go.
Thank you, Mike. I'm honored.
Yeah, you should be. And you have your own theme song now, which is very, very exciting. Do we have the...
It's if it would play. The it's. I'm having a... There we are.
Ah, here we are.
Go, Diego, go, everybody.
Pony, have you ever danced on this show?
No. Wonderful. We were talking, and we were actually riffing between breaks about cartoons.
Yeah.
This particular cartoon is the one that my son is addicted to. He likes Dora the Explorer, but he loves Go Diego Go.
Do you remember the name of the jaguar yet?
No.
I can't remember it. It's killing me.
Do you know? Anybody
Hector.
Know?
Hector.
That's right.
It's not Hector.
It's Adrian.
Hector is such a Hispanic name. Hector!
What that's are actually you my brother's name.
Oh, nice.
Hector is your...
It is. No lie.
Well, that's a shocker.
Playing the type. That's good.
So, Diego, where do you hail from as far as... are you a lifelong D.C. person?
I am, yep.
Okay.
Born and raised. I grew up in Reston. Then I moved to Sterling, where I currently am.
Okay, and...
Reston is a planned community.
You are Adrian. Your brother's name is Hector. Hector,
yes.
Where do your parents, are they
they're not from
first
here.
Generation or second generation or
both? My parents were born in El Salvador.
That's where they met. The Salvador.
Since we have this opportunity, then I think I probably can speak for Adrian when I say fuck you, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very
Amen.
Much. How do you feel about that? Seriously, being having an immigrant family. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? I mean, we've talked to Oscar about that, but I want to get a fresh perspective.
Are you
on
ready
it.
To make America great?
Again?
I honestly don't mind him. I mean, I like entertainment, so he's entertaining. So okay. I honestly do not mind him at all.
Because, I mean, so many people got PO'd about that. So,
are you old enough to vote?
I am. The last election was my first election.
And you were allowed to vote?
I was,
That's
yes.
Good.
Now, how did you hear about the Mike O'Mara Show? How did you come to be an intern on the... What are you doing? Pony and Rob are doing, like, their own show
no,
here
No,
right
it's
now.
Just it was sort of under the radar when I asked if he was allowed to vote. I was okay. implying, is he in the country legally?
Okay, God.
And I'm
was
glad he
here.
Is.
God, I was
you know,
here.
I apologize for him. I apologize for
but
him,
that
you
was,
bastard.
That was brilliant because in an HR interview, you're not allowed to say, are you illegal?
Yes.
Right.
So you would just ask him, hey, did you vote?
Yeah.
You know what? I would file suit against Rob and do it right now.
Yeah, take the company for all it's worth.
I can't afford it.
So you fit in very quickly here on the show. You're a very, very good intern. And how did you hear about us?
How did you discover the program?
How did you discover us?
It was a long time ago. I was a freshman in high school. Right. And I actually started listening to Bigelow and Dukes first.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, very good. Very good. Make America great again. Speak of the devil.
Where did you go to high school?
Parkview High School in Sterling, Virginia.
What is their mascot? I can't remember.
The Patriots.
Ah, the Parkview Patriots.
Yes. It all comes full circle. Make America great again. Exactly. Big Shooter, his campaign manager. You know, there you go.
I never made these connections before. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's an interesting dynamic being that Oscar works on two shows, you know, the Big O and Duke show and this show, and could not work with two people more different. The only thing Chad and I have in common is a weight issue. That's pretty much it.
You know?
And we're also narcissists.
Great guys.
We also don't suffer fools.
Yeah.
And we also talent. And we have a temper.
Yes, I've seen it.
That's the way that goes. That's where it ends. So you listen to the Big O and Duke show, and that's how you heard about the Mike O'Mara show.
Correct. Yeah. When Oscar and Chad moved over to Middays, you guys would come on after them. So I would just, you know, keep the radio on and keep listening to you guys.
That's how I found out about
the Mike O'Mara show.
Did you get a chance to hear the Big O and Duke's birthday broadcast, which is one of their more legendary?
At Oscar's house? Yeah.
That was one of the great.
I stayed home from school that day to hear that.
That's fantastic.
That's cool.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not. I am single right now.
Good news, ladies.
Very, very good. Yes. Have you had a girlfriend recently?
Not recently, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are you looking to get out of your experience with the Mike O'Mara show?
Experience, some knowledge, you know, just getting more comfortable speaking on the microphone. That's what I would love to get from this.
Rofo, being the one of the senior interns on the show, is there any information you would like to share with Go Diego Go
because,
about
you know,
doing his job?
Rofo is really our success story.
Yes.
He really is. Because he started where they've all... Be nice! Be nice! He's executive producing for the Tony Perkins Show.
You know, sometimes when you lie like water. It's like watching water flow.
There is not an untruth in there.
No,
the fact
he is
our success story.
He has done very well, and he is developing mad skills, and that is true. And Rofo, you know, when Tony's show came to being, you know, right on, Oscar kind of farmed him into the producer
role. Stepped up to the plate.
Yes, absolutely. That's with Gary. Did you ever dream that you would be working with Gary Stein?
I had no idea.
That's good.
But it's a nice found surprise.
So what can you tell?
Isn't they're the best, aren't they?
The best.
The nice found surprises
nice found
are the best.
Nice found surprise.
That's a nice found surprise. As the entire world is going internet.
Show title.
Substitute Astrage.
I swear to God, I still think he's high.
Do you have any questions for Diego?
Or advice?
Yes.
The advice is always be early and always say yes. And that's absolutely serious.
Always be early and always say yes. That warms
good
my heart.
Stuff.
That's why I like this boy.
Good stuff.
That's why. But I like Diego, too. And Mac, I have grown to like. I've grown to like Mac, but you see, the other night when I saw him, remember when I wanted to throw him under the bus on the other show?
When Mac was coming late to the appearance, he really wasn't. He'd gotten there earlier.
He had already been and gone and been and gone.
Because of my preconceived notions, and that is because he has been habitually late to this broadcast, has he not?
He always has, and he admits to it. And there's something that people that are habitually late, sometimes they're excited about it, and they just say, my whole family's like that. And that doesn't make it okay.
He's learning, though.
He is,
he's
and
learning.
I will
he's
tell
still
you this,
a young guy.
Mike. I will say this. I can't look at you when I say it.
Yes,
but I'm going to say this.
Right,
Mac is another one of our success stories.
Oh, come on.
No, and I will tell you why. He has stepped up during a couple bonus shows. He's co-hosting Tech 411. And although you may not be dazzled.
He put together the Simpsons video, right?
Mike, keep in mind, it wasn't that long ago that I yelled at Pony for leaving me in the room with him alone. Because I couldn't do it. He has now become more socially apt.
Right.
He can handle it.
Right.
And he's doing better.
Competent.
Yeah, he's more competent.
That's
he's
good.
Always been competent.
Yeah.
But he's also always been creepy. The creepy is down. I actually had to tell him to be quiet the other day because he was talking too much.
All right, well, let's get back to Adrian because
please.
He's got a couple more minutes.
There's
here,
a high bar.
Yes.
Adrian, and are we okay? Are we okay with this?
Yeah, everything's
great.
You sound great.
Now I'm super paranoid about
the microphone.
So, Adrian, are you bilingual? Do you speak Spanish?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful.
Oh, habla español. Latin as well?
Yes.
Talk to us.
Lecetne mihi ira a latrinum. That means, can I use the bathroom?
Wow.
That's all I know.
Yeah, but Latin is a dead language.
I took 3 years of Latin, only got to Latin 2.
Really? But you speak fluent Spanish.
I do.
Okay.
With Latin being a dead language, don't you think it would be nice if we had a moment now where Oscar and Adrian spoke in their mother tongue together?
This would be awkward.
You know, Oscar loves it.
I do.
Now, why is it? I'm just curious because for people that aren't bilingual, I know that Oscar doesn't like to do it. He doesn't, you know. And I don't think I've ever asked you what the reason is.
Well, it's because I'm ashamed of my accent. It should be better.
Okay, you should. You think you should speak better Spanish?
I should speak better Spanish.
Yep, exactly.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
It's a shame.
Because I can't roll my R's.
Shame.
You can't roll your R's.
And I'm Spanish. You're supposed to be able to roll your R's.
Radio.
Yeah. And the lady's like that as well.
Yes, on the radio. All right.
I hate saying my name in Spanish because I can't say it. My own name.
Okay, if you two.
Isn't Diego. Diego?
He's talking about Adrian. No.
Adrian.
You've already eliminated the actual person. Turned him into a character.
Character. All right, so if you wouldn't mind, for our Spanish-speaking listeners, and there are many of them.
Mike, there are millions of them.
Could you just say some nice things about the Mike O'Mara Show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Adrian / Diego.
Gracias por...
Oh, he's fluent.
That's it. Oh, wow.
You have a hard time doing it, too.
I'll ask him a question. Maybe he can answer.
Okay,
right?
Very good. All right.
Si tenías que hacer sexo con uno de los gorditos aquí,
oh my God.
¿Con quién?
He's saying something about us being
fat.
Son of a bitch.
I know that. Either that or he's doing my Taco Bell
order. The two fat guys. Gorditos.
A los dos, Oscar. Rob y Mikael.
Oh, wow.
What was that?
I think I'm guessing that here's what just happened. Are there fat people that work on this show? Yes, no. Oscar, two of them. Rob and Mike.
I said if you had to have sex with either Mike or Rob.
Right.
I called you gorditos, so yes. Who would it be? He said he'd pick both of you.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Good answer. Good diplomatic answer.
He never walked straight again.
Well, that's a few minutes of our life we're not going to get back. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will talk to Kelly Carlin. She's got a new book. It's called A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George by Kelly Carlin. And we will do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Touch of Modern. Are you ready to upgrade your style without upping the price? TouchOfModern.com has all of the latest trends at the best prices anywhere. Quit following. You can be the trendsetter in your group with the latest clothing and the newest products from TouchOfModern.com. Everyone will be copying your style. TouchOfModern.com is the place for products and stylings for your home, your office, and your closet. We love this website. I got a great watch from TouchOfModern.com. Oscar's got a lot of cool stuff from them as well. Touch of Modern connects directly with top designers for timeless and unique products. You'll love this website. You can spend a whole afternoon just surfing it. It's fantastic. Touch of Modern scours the globe for great stuff. They have new sales launching literally every day. It's one website that elevates your lifestyle with a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. That is how life rolls in the fast lane, touchofmodern.com. Check them out and do it today. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are now going to be joined by Kelly Carlin. She has written the book, A Carlin Home Companion. Kelly also has a radio show on Sirius XM, The Kelly Carlin Show. She's got another... God, she's busy. She's busy. Waking from the American Dream on Smodcast Network, and she blogs for the Huffington Post. Kelly, you're a busy lady.
I am. I haven't done the podcast lately. I'm actually going to rejuvenate that again. But try to... keep busy. You got to in this business. You're always got to be flinging something in the air.
I feel the need for some reason to share with you that one of my favorite activities is my little George Carlin nostalgia moments where I will just go to YouTube and I will watch, his stand-up. And, I think there's so many people that probably do that because it makes me feel good. And it was such a tremendous loss. There will never be another George Carlin. I'm sure you've been told that millions of times. But it is such a wonderful activity for me to do that. I don't do that with any other comedian that's not around anymore. And George Carlin, I'm 56 years old, and probably like so many people my age, I grew up with George and watched his career. It's just such a wonderful activity because there's something so totally unique about his stand-up, and I just found it fascinating. I will skip to the end of your book and tell you, when you talk about, you're in Hawaii when you're losing your dad, and then you didn't drop his name often in your life, but you're coping with your grief, and you bump into that. I wanted to reach into that book, and that ticket agent that you were dealing with, I wanted to rip that person's throat out. Because you go to the airport, and you say you want to get upgraded because you're dealing dealing with this and you just want to be, you know, you want to be comfortable on the flight. You want to deal with your grief and all that. And you talk about the fact that this person at the time in their 40s, this ticket agent, did not recognize your father's name. And I'm yelling, practically yelling at the book going, God damn it. Why don't you know this? You know, it's touching. It's revealing. And I guess the first question after my little speech there that I would have for you is pretty difficult. Growing up in the shadow of somebody like George Carlin, it had to be a very, very interesting ride, but some pretty tough moments that you had to live through.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. It's interesting. I mean, there's kind of two different issues here. One of which is my mother's alcoholism, and then my dad's drug addiction during a certain amount of years when my mother's alcoholism was at her height. So there was that difficulty, which is difficult for anybody, any family that has to deal with that, whether it's parents or a loved one of any kind. It's like a bad curse has been put over your house. And I was young. You know, my mother, I think, was probably an alcoholic from, you know, the first day she took a sip of alcohol when she was a kid. So, and into her 20s, and then she didn't get sober until 75 when she was, 34. So, but
was that generational, do you think? I mean, because I mean, I think, you know, I could look back and, my mom and dad, I was born in 59. And, it just seems like anybody can watch Mad Men and, it was kind
it's
of
commonplace. The culture.
It was kind of the culture with drinking and smoking.
Yeah,
and then, a lot of people.
I think it was certainly. But I think my mother was I think it was beyond that. My mother was a day drinker, and when she drank, her personality really changed. I mean, she was textbook alcoholic personality, and was doing it to self-medicate for anxiety and depression. I mean, it's why a lot of people drink is to change their mood. So there was that. And then it was the times in the sense that also that then when the drugs came in to my household, it was the early 70s, and that's when, cocaine really became a thing, and everyone was handing my parents a little white packet,
Right,
it was
right.
The party drug and everything. And that just feeds a whole nother part of your personality, which is, greedy and selfish and angry and slightly insane with, staying up for days. And so that fed like that part of my dad, which was not healthy. And then on top of the alcohol fed my mother. And so it was, it was a bad scene. And, and I think about a lot of kids who grew up with parents like mine who were really part of the counterculture, were dealing with this stuff, big time.
Right.
I think of a lot of musicians' kids,
right.
Dealt with this, and you can read their books, and everything. So there was that. So there was that part of it, which, made us a very typical dysfunctional codependent family. We were all in denial and walking around on eggshells and I talk a lot about that.
You talk about the obvious things like the separation of having a show business parent who's constantly on the road, and you also discuss the fact that your mom survived rehab. She made it through rehab, came out on the other side. When that happened at that time in your life, how significant was, did your life change when your mom got clean? Did that?
It was like day and night. I mean, it was like the curse had been lifted off the village. I mean, it was, living in an oppressive alcoholic situation to suddenly your mother no longer, me no longer having to assess her moods every day and check how much she's been drinking in order to decide what I'm going to be and who I'm going to be in front of her. I mean, my whole existence was designed around placating her and her moods and both of their moods, when my dad was high and crazy. But he had a different, he was the rational guy, but being around an alcoholic was a very different thing. And it changed everything. I mean, it was like this huge thing had been lifted, but at the same time, I had been trained well. So all of that, worrying about other people and checking out my environment and kind of, being a chameleon no matter what the situation was, I had been already trained. And so even though it got easier at home and home life was no longer the chaotic place, I, and this is what happens, I think, to a lot of people, was like, where's the chaos? I only know how to deal with chaos. And so I started pursuing chaos with experimenting with drugs and hanging out with people who were, you know, who were in the fast lane, for sure.
We're chatting with Kelly Carlin. She has written a book about growing up with her father, A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George. It was something that was interesting in the book, and as a turbo fan of George as I am, I noticed that, and I enjoyed this transition with his comedy. I noticed, one of the little things you learn from the book is that, you know, he definitely was curmudgeon-y in the late stages of his stand-up, and I loved that about him, because he seemed to be dealing, you mentioned in the book that he's probably, you know, dealing with some of the anxiety over his health and his own fears. I loved that incarnation of your father's stand-up. When you read this book, you realize that he's going through an awful lot during that, and you're living that with him. Did that make it tougher on the home front? You know, we see the angry George on stage. Mm-hmm. Was he the angry George at home?
No. He channeled his outrage, and that's what it was. It was outrage on stage. He
beautiful
used
outrage,
it as
I should say. Absolutely. I'm sorry.
He used it as a theatrical device, and he talked about this. He used it as a theatrical device. Yes, he had little patience for, you know, what he used to call white prick businessmen in first class. You know, he really f-ing hated those business guys in first class and had a lot of. But, you know, and that's part of his adolescent rage, too. That's part of who he was. You know, he grew up, you know, trying to rebel against that. His mother wanted him to become that, you know. So he had always the adolescent rage in him, but he turned it into theatrical outrage in order to, you know, when he saw Sam Kinison screaming at his audiences, and, you know, I write about this in the book, it's like he realized, we need to start shouting at the audience. They are that asleep. Like, that's how numb they are. Yeah. And you have to understand that when this outrage came out was in the late 80s and the early 90s, when we had just survived 8 years of Reagan and barely survived it. You know, I mean, it eviscerated the safety net of this country and my father's progressive ideals. And so there was a lot of pent-up rage, and it wasn't just his. I think it was collective.
Speaking of transitions, one thing you talk about in the book that I really enjoyed is when he transformed from what you described as being a comedian for his parents' generation to a comedian for his generation.
And he actually had the look. I mean, you can see the, you can see, I mean, the one of the biggest shocks I had growing up with the bearded, long-haired George Carlin was the first time I, you know, and this is many, many years
ago. Like on the Ed Sullivan show.
When I saw a clip of him and I'm like, oh my God, he was like, he was such a straight shooting guy. It looked like that. And that, you know.
On the outside.
Talk about that. When did that transition happen?
Yeah, because it's fascinating.
Where he became the George Carlin that everybody knew.
Well, that was around 69. So inside, he was always the George Carlin everybody knew. I mean, he was from day one. He'd been smoking weed since he was 14. He'd been hanging out with musician, was a jazz fan, you know, his whole life. And, you know, that's who he was. But in order to make a living and to have success, and he had this plan. You know, he wrote about it, and I write about it, this Danny Kaye plan, where he was going to be a DJ and then a stand-up and then a famous comedic actor. So in order to do that, he had to play the game, and he was willing to play the game. And it worked really, really well for him for a while because he did get success. He did find traction, and he got a lot of success then by the late 60s. But at the same time, he was miserable because he was ready to evolve. Like all of his friends were evolving. They were all musicians and they were all getting to speak their truth to power on stage and through their work. And he was always being told by these TV producers, oh, just do the hippy dippy weatherman again, you know? And it's like, I have all this other new material, you know, and they wouldn't let him do it. So yeah. And what happened was a couple of different things. One of which was he did drop acid a couple of times and it changed his values. He really saw, like, why am I walking around in this false life when, you know, this is the true person I am? And he it gave him the balls to leap, and which he did. You know, he was still booked. He, you know, he decided to make the leap, but he was still booked in places like the Playboy Club and stuff like that.
Right.
And he was so desperately trying to get fired. I mean, I guess there's a show, and I guess we have it on tape somewhere, where he's actually like lying underneath the piano and like describing what the underbelly of a piano looks like to his audience.
To lose the gig. Yeah. That's what he's trying to do with that. You know, the thing, it's funny listening to you talk and remembering the book where you talk about the teaching moments that you had with your dad where he would teach you things. And I think one of the things I truly love about George Carlin's comedy is it is almost like you are getting a lesson.
Yeah.
That was his comedy. He was teaching us up there. Yeah, he was making us laugh, but he was teaching us a lot at the same time. And one of the touching parts of the book is when you talk about the wonderful teaching moments you had with your dad. Talk about some of those, because it was really, I thought that was a wonderful part of this book.
Yeah. He was professorial, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
You know, when you think about it, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would. He, you know, there'd be these moments in like our collective cultural experience where he would like really want to make sure that like I understood what was going on, even though it was beyond my years in a few ways, you know. And
right.
And I talk about it in the book, like, you know, him waking me up to watch the Apollo moon landing,
so
even
cool.
though I was.
Yeah,
I was young, you know, I was around six, and I was, you know, I got it, but, you know, kind of, but he was so like, you got to get this, you got to see this. And then, like, you know, in 72, when we went to Kent State, and he took me by where the memorial for the kids were, you know, that had been shot by the National Guard,
right.
and like,
or
really trying
Ohio.
To explain to me, yeah, what was going on, like, in the country about Vietnam and everything, because, you know, I was a kid. I mean, who really pays attention to that stuff when you're nine? But he, you know, he would really try to, like, make me understand that, you know, that certain groups in our country have been oppressed from day one, and he had a great affinity and just a real sense of injustice for, you know, black people in America and what the black experience. He'd grown up right next to Harlem, so it was a big part of his childhood. And he just really always, you know, wanted to transfer those values to me.
Did you, was it after his death that you truly embraced all of us out here, the wonderful fans of George Carlin? Because, I mean, I think that's kind of the way it went down for you, right? That this is, you've gotten through this by reaching out to his fans and embraced them. I think that's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, really what happened was the fans reached out me. And
right.
I mean, you know, my dad lived his life and he had his career and his experience. And, you know, by the time he died, and that's part of, as you know, what the book is about, is me finding my own light,
right.
you know, and
right.
really finding my own way and no longer borrowing his buzz, as I say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge part of my journey and still is. You know, I mean, writing this book has been me walking the path of that, finding my truth, telling it. But yes, when he died, I never really thought about his fans. I mean, I'd had experiences with him and encountering fans and things
right.
like that. And people would, you know, be blown away when they found out who my dad was.
Right.
But yeah, like, especially the comedians calling me and like crying on the phone with me and like me getting like, wow, like my dad, like I really did share my dad. The first time someone thanked me for sharing my dad with the world, I'd never really thought about it that way. And they were like, thank you for sharing your dad. Thank you for letting us have him. And I was like, I mean, it broke me up emotionally so much because it's like, oh, I'd never really thought of that. And yeah, I guess I did have to share him. I guess that is why, you know, there was a part of always a longing to be with him. And so when my dad died and these fans and these comedians just kind of surrounded me like in virtual reality online and then in my real life also, it really helped me. It helped me a lot just to survive the pain of grief, because grief can be it's an actual physical pain you go through.
I know. I've been there. When I lost my dad, I had the same feeling. Absolutely.
Yeah, you get it. And to really to be lifted up by that and to be embraced and then for them to really, especially the comics, you know, to really get like, we love you for who you are, and we're your champion, and we're excited about you finding your voice and your place in the world.
You know, the word that comes to mind, Kelly, is compassion, and I think that one of the things that, you know, with his progressive politics, I don't want to get too political on
right.
this, but, you know, we share that. You know, I'm a progressive as well, and I think that when a word that comes into my world more now is compassion, and I think one of the reasons these comedians did reach out to you, and you'll find this out by reading the book, he showed showed a tremendous amount of compassion to other comedians, something that, you know, we, especially in this business, we don't really think comedians are like that.
And generous.
But he was very generous and compassionate to other comedians, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was one of the most generous humans I've ever encountered. Lewis Black is another one. I mean, it's a person who gives their time always. And yeah, and I found out after he died that he was, like, generous with his time in interesting ways. Like, he'd be, like, interviewed by, like, the local college kid who's, like, also doing open mics. And my dad would, you know, the guy was, oh, I'm doing open mics. And my dad would say, oh, what's your set about? You know, and he'd, like, go over his set with the kid. And then he'd get his number or email address, and he'd, like, check in with the kid.
Wow.
You know, 3 or 6 months later, and, like, how's the open mics going? Are you progressing? Are you still getting up on stage? And I had no idea my dad did this. My dad's time was usually so compartmentalized and so, like, here's my work, here's my downtime, here's my travel time.
Right.
And, you know, I was always trying to fit in, like, a lunch with my dad every 6 weeks. And when I found out at this about my dad, I was like, holy shit. Like, I had no idea.
That is so amazing. It really, it's really not just for fans of George Carlin, but I think for anybody that wants to deal with their, you know, loss in their life. And I found the book very informative for that too, and lots of similarities. And I think it's just it's a really wonderful, you know, love letter to his fans as well. And you know, if you even if you're a moderate fan of George Carlin, you're going to love this book. Kelly, a terrific story, and I really love this book, A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George. One thing, what would you want everybody to know about your dad that nobody would know, that you'd like to share with us before we let you go?
Yeah, I guess that he, you know, that he wasn't that angry man that people saw on stage, you know, the last part of his life, that he had a lot of joy. And he was very sentimental, actually, extremely sentimental. I mean, after my mom died and he was with Sally Wade, he wrote her a love note every single day of their relationship, and they were together 10 years. I mean, what kind of guy isn't a sappy guy who does that? You know? That's
beautiful.
What my dad was.
Beautiful.
Total sappy guy. And was in every way. I mean, I found his calendars after he died, and I would see, like, notes in it, like, Kelly's first day in her first house, you know. He would, like, remember
amazing.
These moments.
That's incredible.
Yeah, really, really sentimental, really sweet.
Well, I'll say it too. Thank you for sharing your dad with us.
Yes.
And really, there will never, ever be another George Carlin. And you're doing your dad proud right now. And thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us. Good luck with the blogging. Good luck with the podcasting and the Sirius show and the book and all that good stuff. Kelly Carlin, George's only child. We are delighted to have you on, and good luck with everything.
Thank you guys so much for having me today.
Take care.
A pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
We will take a break, and when we come back, it's Oscar Arazi. You know, if you're a Carlin fan, you got to read that book.
It's a great
absolutely
book.
Terrific. We'll have Oscar coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I know that one of your competitors, Donald Trump, has had a lot of success with his hats.
Yes.
And if you were to get a Dr. Ben Carson hat made, I know where you could get it. Is at this shop called Lids.
Lids, a very popular shop with hats that they have there. I have several prototypes.
Oh, you do?
Yes, from my hats here. Ben Carson, we don't want another Hitler.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa.
That's kind of good. My theme.
Sure. Right.
That doesn't roll off the tongue, though.
Right. Ben Carson, he cuts heads apart.
No, that doesn't really work
either. I think that's a step in the right direction,
That really
though.
Doesn't talk about your brand, though.
Yeah, yeah.
How about this? And this is my favorite one right here.
Yes.
This is America, vote Ben Carson. Open your eyes.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yes, sir.
We also got to mention, in addition to Ben Carson, on the Bonus Show this weekend, we played Cards Against Humanity. and it does not disappoint.
Yes.
It's good, good stuff.
It's filthy is what it is.
It's dirty.
Disgusting. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I love to wake up in the morning because I love waking up to Harry's.
Harry's.
Now I wake up to a better shave and a better razor that feels great in my hand, and it feels great on my face. I wake up knowing that I didn't spend a fortune on razor blades. It's such a great deal. No more money down the drain. No more lousy razors. I love Harry's. You will love Harry's.com. I signed two nights ago at our meet and greet in Glover Park. I actually signed a Harry's razor box.
Oh, that's great.
For a woman.
A woman.
That's right. I absolutely do. She loves the product. You will too. Harry's bought a razor factory and they're fantastic. They're all the way over in Germany. They ship it direct to you. That's how they keep the prices down. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables and say hello to Harry's. High quality blades at a price you will love. Go to Harry's.com right now.
He's right, you know.
And enter the code TMOS at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. That's a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with the TMOS code at checkout. Remember, Harry's.com and the code TMOS. It's the best. Before we get Oscar Razzi here, let me...
Jess?
Oh.
All right. Hold on. We're going to do this as we're doing the show. Mrs. O'Mara is calling me. So,
oh, okay. Let me kill the music.
Please, right please. Please.
Hello, Mrs. O'Mara. We're doing the show right now. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm at the dental office. You're getting my teeth cleaned.
Oh, how exciting.
Oh, you know, nice. I saw you last night. Your teeth look great.
Rob says your teeth look great, honey.
I want to keep them looking great.
That's wonderful. Mm. Yeah, I need to go to the dentist soon, too.
Yeah, you been a while. Mike. You really do need to go to the dentist.
Yeah, it's
with
been
your
a while.
Teeth.
With my what? With my wooden teeth.
Aww, thank you, darling. That's sweet.
I appreciate that. Well, great checking in. I'll call you after the show, darling. Bye-bye. Love you, too.
Mike is in for a sharpening.
How about that? She comes on for 5 minutes and does that. All right.
Your teeth are as strong as oak.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscar Razzi.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, yes. Oscar.
Ever fluid story. I'm just getting the latest now. This is from the USA Today. Lamar Odom apparently had used cocaine to come out, right? And used up to 10 sexual performance supplements before his hospitalization.
10 wow. different ones or 10 doses?
10 doses, they're saying.
Okay, wow.
And again, ever-changing story. He's still in critical condition. You mentioned in yesterday's show that the Kardashians are there by his side. I want to mention that some NBA players, including his former teammates, and Kobe Bryant stopped by to see him because they're doing the summer league in Las Vegas. So they went there right after the camp. I think that... regardless of the addiction and the destruction that we've heard of and we've actually, you know, highlighted here on the program, I don't think a guy like that isn't a nice guy if all these people go out of their way to actually
yeah,
go
it does speak well
with all the demons. Yes. He's a good guy, and it's a very sad story.
Super sad, super sad. Moving on, guys. John Stamos is going to be charged with one count of DUI and faces up to 6 months of jail.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
After will this affect the sitcom?
Drugs are found in his system. Have you seen Grandfather by chance?
I have not seen his new TV show. I have not seen that.
It's got the Drake and Josh kid in it.
I have watched every episode, and I give it 2 thumbs up.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, he's going to be somebody's bitch. I mean, John Stamos, even at his advanced age, John Stamos is a wonderful prison bitch.
Very pretty.
It's absolutely.
Always has been pretty.
3 months after he checked out of rehab, Stamos has been charged in the DUI case.
Uncle Jesse's gonna squeal.
He's 52. I think he's been squeaky clean. He might get a pass in the long run. Not a great thing to happen in your career, but
house arrest.
Yeah, probably
house arrest.
You know what? Likes. I don't think he likes more celebrities. He likes being John Stamos. Twice, Carrie has not spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. But on 2 separate trips, she spotted him.
She spotted
really?
John Stamos twice.
That's A-list in my eyes.
Yeah, so, A-list. But
hey,
you know what?
Is that a coincidence?
Well, she
stalker.
She was knocking on his door.
Very good.
But no, like just out and about in town. I think he likes driving around being John Stamos.
Really?
Yeah. And you know what? I think I would too.
Yeah, why not?
If I had hair.
And, why not?
Wasn't he a sex addict too? Something like that.
There are stories that
I thought it was yogurt.
Had a place in Malibu, and I would hear it on different shows, and guys would stop by his house, just full of models. Just full of models. Stacked to the rafters.
Making breakfast, doing the laundry, you know. Yeah, come on down here, honey. I'm ready for you now.
Yeah, when you get to the point in your life when you're tired of Rebecca Romijn, it's good.
Hey, amen.
Things are good.
Absolutely.
Kaylee Cuoco?
Cuoco, I think. Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco,
Yes. The Big Bang Theory, one of the biggest shows in the world, as you guys know. I never really got into it.
I never got into it either. I'm totally pissed that they get as much money as they get.
How many millions an episode?
Insane money. Yes.
Oh, as you know, she's filed for divorce from from her estranged husband a year and a half. It was super quick, right?
Okay.
And apparently there are rumors now that she had a secret fling with one of her Big Bang Theory co-stars. Allegedly, she's denying them. But Johnny Galecki would be the co-star that she's linked to. Yes.
Wow. He doesn't seem like the type for her.
How late are we on the show?
We can do about one more, Oscar.
Okay. Yeah. I just noticed that. I'm sorry.
No, we're good.
Go ahead, Oscar.
No, it's okay. I don't have a clock in front of me, so we're good to go.
Yeah, I just realized that. We went long with Ms. Carlin.
She had much to say.
Yes,
one more, and it's back to Lamar Odom. I wanted to share this as well. He spent $75,000 in his short time at the brothel. That's the type of dollars and sex.
Like
we're
2 days.
About.
75 grand?
75K, TMZ is reporting.
He should have gotten the all inclusive.
That's terrible. That is not nice.
Just a number that I wasn't expecting to see, but of course we find out everything these days. So I guess our prayers are with Lamar.
Yeah, we wish him luck.
75K for 2 days.
A lot of money.
A lot of money.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. We appreciate that. That's Oscar Rotzi. We will take a break, and then it is time for our last audio vault of the week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I am Gary Stein.
He is the father of Ben Stein, who is our guest this week, an extraordinary musician who happens to be your son.
Isn't that surprising?
That he's your son?
Yes, he's good. Talented. Yes.
Also on the show, the real or fake movie game.
Oh, not again.
Check it out. TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe at iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Do you feel that chill in the air?
Ooh.
Do you know what that is?
Ooh.
That is Old Man Winter or so, sending out his calling card. Fall is here and winter is right around the corner. Brr.
Oh, give me a better read than that.
Fall is here and winter is right around the corner, Burr.
I think we'll go with the first one.
Okay. Amazon has everything you need for the upcoming months. Warm clothes, boots, hats, costumes, and candy for Halloween. Rakes and leaf blowers. Don't forget those.
Oh, the leaves love them.
And if you're smart and think ahead, it's never too early for snow shovels, ice melter, and dazzling Christmas lights. Dazzling. Shop at home, beat the crowds, and save some serious bread, Daddy-O. Plus, it's always the right time of year to buy solid brass monkeys at surprisingly affordable prices.
Chunky monkey. I didn't think I could afford that monkey until I went to Amazon.com.
But the most important thing to remember is anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny little percentage, and it means the world to us. Like all the people that we saw this week in Glover Park, I should say. If you buy something on Amazon and you go through our page, it helps us enormously. We want you to go to MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. Thank you, and God bless all of you. Real good.
Thank you.
All right, now without further ado, let's open up the audio vault. There it is. Yeah. Come on, Mike. You can make it. Here's Rob Spiewak. Go ahead, Rob.
I have so much good stuff to bring you, but this must be played today because he's here with us. Do you remember, Mike, when Rob Ford was teaching you how to edit video?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to have video of himself to edit to show you how to do it.
Yes.
And he was kind enough to share me the final project.
Oh, wonderful. This is very exciting.
And so this is Rob Ford, and I want you to know, yes, indeed, if you're wondering, it does indeed end with him doing double gunshot points
okay.
to the camera.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a little Rob Ford.
Hi. This is Rob Ford from the Mike O'Mara Show, or as they like to say, ROFO. I'm here on October 12th, Columbus Day, here in Washington, D.C. This is a test video for getting some stock footage so that I can help Mike O'Mara get into the video editing game. I'm taking some big pauses in between, but you won't know because I'm going to do some jump edits. The point of this video is just to provide some test footage so that I can learn how to use iMovie and edit. it shouldn't be too hard, and Mike's going to have no problem with it. Well, I guess that's probably enough footage for now. Maybe I'll add in some music at the end. Maybe I won't. Possibly even a title screen. Sorry in advance if this video came across as super douchey. Grosso out.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I watched
fantastic.
It five times.
Wow. I can't wait to see it. I heard it, and I loved it. I can't wait to see it.
Can you put
fantastic.
It up on our Facebook
absolutely,
page?
Absolutely.
I would love for people
very,
to see it.
Very, very good.
Oh, and you know what?
That's the Rofo-iest.
He says it shouldn't be too hard for Mike to learn. I'm going to say something I haven't said in a long time.
Yes.
I'm excited for Saturday Night Live this weekend because Who's Tracy be Morgan on? Is hosting.
Oh, really?
And okay. they don't run them much on NBC, but if you go to the Saturday Night Live website, they record promos.
Yeah.
And here are some Tracy Morgan promos that I found very entertaining.
Hi, I'm Tracy Morgan, and I'm hosting Saturday Night Live season finale this week with musical guest Demi Lovato.
Oh, no, Tracy, this is not the season finale.
Oh, it will be after I'm done with it. Hi, I'm Tracy Morgan, and I'm hosting SNL this week with musical guest Demi Lovato.
Ah, Tracy, it's such an honor to have you back, ma'am.
Back where?
Back at SNL.
Did I used to work here?
Yeah, Tracy, you worked here for like 7 years.
Can't remember anymore.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm messing with you, Bobby. What? Yeah, I remember. I remember everything.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I remember you owed me $72.
Oh, are you sure?
It might have been 78.
Yeah, I think that was Horatio Sands. It happens
right.
all the time. Yeah.
You're right. Okay. Hi, I'm Tracy Morgan, and I'm hosting SNL this week with musical guests Demi Lovato.
Ah, Tracy, it's so awesome you're hosting. Everyone is so excited.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm going to get everyone in this building pregnant.
It was really good to see him working
cool.
and doing shtick
That's
again.
His standard line, that pregnant line.
That's
I love
so
that.
Great.
Very, very funny.
If you don't have Netflix, get yourself Netflix because they're coming out with a holiday special.
Really?
It's called A Very Merry Christmas, and it has George Clooney, it has Amy Poehler, and your host, Bill Murray.
Really?
Wow.
It is a Christmas special that looks like all I have is 30
on
second
Netflix,
promo.
On Netflix, a Christmas special with Bill Murray.
A Very Murray Christmas.
A Very Murray Christmas. I can't. I'm all in.
Listen to him sing.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Tonight will go down as the greatest night so in history. Delightful.
But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
I'm already in the Christmas spirit.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I would love to someday even know someone who's gotten to a point in their career that they could do the stuff Bill Murray does.
That is so
super
neat.
Cool.
What do you want to do? I want to do a Christmas special.
On Netflix.
Where are you going to do it? Netflix.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to have a lot of A-listers around me, and I'm going to sing.
That is too funny. And, you know, he's a good Christmassy guy.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
He did Scrooge.
Oh,
you
great
know?
Film. Yeah.
Absolutely. The guy loves Christmas.
So
That's
watch
great.
Out for that. Now, did you know that Michael Jackson hung out on the set of On Golden Pond?
No.
That, you know, I was going to include that, but I'm
really?
Glad you have it.
Good.
That is so incredible. Yeah, he went and visited
that.
Jane Fonda.
And he ended up being friends with Katharine Hepburn, even though she didn't want him there.
Do you have audio
in the first place? I have Jane Fonda telling about
this
it.
This is such an amazing
wow.
story.
This is pretty great.
Michael Jackson came and stayed for 10 days on the set. And when I first asked her permission, there's this young singer, a black mm-hmm. young singer that I would like to invite. She was not happy. Black kid, but then the crew said, "You don't understand. It's Michael Jackson." And so
and he
she
stayed
went.
In your house.
She did. We lived together. I went skinny dipping with him.
Wow.
Also, by the way, with Greta Garbo. Anyway.
So Jane Fonda and wow. Michael Jackson nude in the water together.
So is she throwing Hepburn under the bus
no,
with
I
little
don't
racial
think so.
Stuff there?
I don't think
what?
So. I think she was saying that Katharine Hepburn wasn't aware of who he was.
Okay.
And
right.
I mean, the fact that he was a black singer, I don't think is part of the story. I think it's just it's a young singer.
I am a racist.
Well, the thing is that there's a very
Jane
good chance.
Jane Fonda's accused me of being a racist.
There's a very good chance Katharine Hepburn saw Michael Jackson in his birthday suit.
Happy birthday to you.
There we go.
Happy birthday
there we go.
To
I didn't need to do that voice.
Happy birthday, dear Norman.
Wow.
Happy birthday to you.
And so that is your magic audio vault. Have a great Friday. Friday,
That's
everybody.
It. We got to get out of here. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying, have a nice weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Have a safe trip. So
Thank
long.
You. Yeah, I'll be back in Florida on Monday.
Ciao,
Thank
ciao.
You.
Just a second. You're not going anywhere until I tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, when you think Halloween, think Amazon and go through our website. Open eternally at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Amazon, good.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.